I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, and we also like all things spooky, and we are very big on self-care. So Danae, tell me, what did you do for self-care this week?
This week for self-care, what did I do? Actually, I had a really good Sunday, where I taught my yoga classes, I came home and kind of like sunbathed for a little bit, had some lunch, journaled, and then I took a really glorious nap, and it was a really great Sunday. Like, it felt so nice to just kind of like do whatever I wanted.
I love the napping.
Yeah.
I love a nap. Like, it's everything.
Yeah. It was kind of like a treat. Like, sometimes I feel like, oh, don't take a nap, you'll waste the day. But it was only like an hour nap, and it did not waste the day, and it just felt so good.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah. Just like the nap is like everything.
Oh, God,
and then there's the rough naps where you're like,
coma naps. Yeah. Like, I used to take coma naps where, like, my friends would make fun of me because I would wake up like 5 hours later and be like, what fucking timeline am I in? And it was like,
what year is it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Where do I live? What's my address?
Like, you didn't take a nap. You took a fucking coma nap.
Oh, yeah. There's like a stand-up comedian did something on that. He's like, you didn't take a nap. You took a coma.
Yeah. But what did you do?
You know, it's kind of been a rough week because Keith's ankle, it's not broken, by the way. Yay. His ankle's been kind of a thing, so we've been kind of taking it easy and, like, you know, and, you know, I feel like self-care is just kind of taking it easy.
It's okay. It's okay to, like, not do anything sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It was on Friday. I got off a little bit early from work, and I literally went home, and I'm like, nobody talked to me because I took a nap, too. And I just woke up and felt better, and, like, I think we, like, went to dinner. That's the best. The nap where you wake up and you're not, like, a mess. So you go to dinner and you're like, I'm feeling fabulous.
Yeah, you feel, like, refreshed.
Yeah, I felt super good. It was good enough of a nap. I don't even remember what we did for dinner. It was probably, like, Keith, what do we do for dinner on Friday?
He's not listening.
He's not even listening. I think his AirPods are in.
Yeah.
I don't know, Kim. We probably did something delicious. That's right. That is right. Good job, Keith. So proud of you. He's elevating his foot right now in the room, and it's kind of bruised. So.
It's gnarly.
Yeah. Do you see that? Bruce.
Yeah, it looks gross.
He's getting better on the mend, so. Yeah.
Good ceiling.
But what are you going to tell me about this week?
Well, this week, I'm going to tell you about the murder of Sophie Toussaint Duplantier.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say French.
French as fuck. So, on what day was it? I think it was Monday. When it was all rainy. It was super rainy, remember?
Really quick side note.
Yeah.
So it started raining about like 2, 3.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's when I take my lunch. My car almost got stuck.
In the rain?
Yeah. Okay.
What?
It was so rainy, I couldn't even see the road.
Oh.
Hold on. I'll post this. Are I will
like
actually
hydroplaning?
Oh, hella hydroplaning. And not only that, but my car, like, it kind of stopped moving. And this doesn't give it justice. I couldn't see anything.
On the highway?
Yeah. So I had to go back to work, and I, like, tried to be like,
oh, do you go home for lunch?
I did. I do go home for lunch. But I felt weird because I called my manager. I also have, like, the best manager in the world. I love him. And I was just like, hey, just thought I'd let you know, like, I felt like a little kid, because I was like, just saying, I was like, really bad with flooding, like, I just want everyone to be safe, I'm coming back to work, and then he's like, okay, and I, like, hung up with him. I even told him this, so I was like, I felt so dumb, I was like, why did I even call him, but, yeah, so that was a lot.
It was a lot of rain.
Yeah, did you get it bad over here?
It was super bad, and, I was gonna work out, and I was like, no.
Yeah, it was, like, loud.
I'm gonna stay home and watch a scary movie, because Steven was doing something. I think he had a gig or something. So, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, watch something that I wanna watch, and, like, order some DoorDash and hang out.
Ooh, what'd you get?
It's this place called Oregano's. It's, like, pretty okay. They have, well, it's, like, they have Mexican food and Italian food, but what I love is they have this thing, I forget what it's called, but it's basically, like, mac and cheese, but it has, like, jalapenos and, like, tomatillo, like, salsa on it, kind of.
I guarantee if I could eat mac and cheese, I can't eat cheese, everyone.
Yeah, it's a super bummer.
I would love it, yeah.
No, it's really good. So I got that, and then I just, like, went on Netflix, and I was like, true crime, show me what you got. Like, I searched. Oh,
yeah, when Keith's gone, I'm like, true crime.
Yeah, so I was like, I need, like, a good documentary to watch. So I found this one, and it was the murder. It's called Sophie, a Murder in West Cork.
What streaming service is it on?
It was on Netflix.
Okay, sorry, and you said that.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Like, it was on Netflix. I'm like, what? What streaming service?
No, I do the same thing. I'm like, hold on, I'm only processing so much information. No, but so I was like, this looks good, because it looked kind of rainy in the picture.
I know, you were telling me, you're like, I saw this documentary, it was great. Yeah. I think I'm going to do that. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't even supposed to be, like, it wasn't even going to be, like, my research for this week or anything. I just was like, this is my me time, and I'm going to watch my true crime. Whoopsies. And so I watched it, and it ended up being an amazing documentary. You should absolutely watch it.
I love good documentaries.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Like, so well done. I love all the people, all the locals and stuff that are in it. But basically, this takes place in December of 1996 in Ireland.
Okay, so last week's story was kind of in, like, the 90s.
Yeah, too. And it was in Germany. So I was kind of, like, on a little bit of a, let's get out of America vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't know this story at all. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
And they kind of, like, talk about this, like, really beautiful place, like, to start off. And it's called West Cork. And it's, like, this super rural town in
Ireland. Sounds London-y. Like, West Cork, I'm like, that sounds
fucking gorgeous. Like, yeah. And they have these beautiful shots of the landscape where it's just, like, it's kind of gloomy and there's, like, rolling hills.
Oh, I love that.
And then there's, like, little farmhouses. Yeah. And it's on the coast. So there's, like, these really...
So obviously these ugly views.
Yeah. So, like, there's crashing waves and it's just, like, there's a lighthouse. Like, it's a beautiful, beautiful place and, like, I can absolutely see why anyone would want to go there. And
is
they
it kind of, like, weather-wise, like, Washington vibes?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
From what I could tell.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they, that's the scene, is, like, it's this little tiny town. The documentary kind of talks about how it's a town of people where a lot of foreigners go. So it's, like, they call them blow-ins. Like, you blow in with the wind kind of thing.
Oh, that's what I was like,
it's, like,
what?
The cutest thing I've ever fucking heard in, like, an Irish accent.
Okay, so it's not like people are like, go back to your country.
Absolutely not. God. Like, they are very welcoming, open-minded people.
I love that.
Like, there was, like, one lady who was, like, you know, it was early 90s, and I was a lesbian, and I came in, and I was welcome with open arms. And so there's just, like, a whole bunch of people that are artists, writers, poets.
Why,
like,
are we not there?
I know. I was like,
let's go now.
I was literally thinking, I was like, I should
fucking live
there.
Bye, guys. We're going to go.
And then I was like, wait, I would die if I didn't have the sun for more than.
I mean, Colorado has a rap for being, like, snowy, and it is. But
we have as much sunshine as, like, San Diego, if
we have,
not,
like,
more.
Yeah. So it's, like, it snows and it's gray out.
But
and,
then
like,
it
the
melts.
Next day it melts.
So. Yeah. So anyways, it's, like, it's kind of this little tiny place that attracts a lot of really creative spirits. And I love that. So Sophie Toussaint du Plantier was one of those people. She was a French TV producer, and she was married to, like, a pretty big wig French film producer, Daniel Toussaint du Plantier. He was, like, very well known in French film. Like, he was, like, one of the hot shots. He, like, knew the French president. Like, he was, like, rich and famous, glamorous kind of lifestyle. Whereas Sophie was very introverted from how they described her. Mm-hmm. She was very, like, liked to journal and kind of liked to be alone and enjoyed her alone time. And So she wasn't really all about the glitz and the glamour.
Okay.
And even in, like, the pictures of her on, like, the red carpet, I noticed, like, she's a very naturally beautiful woman. But she never really wore, like, a lot of makeup or anything. Like, you can tell she's just naturally beautiful.
Like I'm guessing she didn't need it.
No, she didn't need it. She, like, you can tell she's, like, not even wearing, like, mascara.
I'm gonna go look at her picture.
Oh, yeah, look at her picture.
After you describe her,
I'm like, she looks like a fucking model. Like, she's truly, truly gorgeous. So she arrived.
Oh my god, what? She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Really lovely woman. She just, like, seems like, I don't know, she just kind of, like, oozes confidence.
Yeah.
Like, you can just tell in that picture, like, that's such a beautiful picture. Mm-hmm. And again, I always say this after, like, we look at photos, but we will post these, so.
We'll post these. Oh, and so not only was, just, like, side note, I used the documentary as a source, but I also used the Wikipedia article for some of the kind of, like, court.
Wikipedia stuff is always good to use just for, like, the kind of, like,
and
an
donate
overview.
Money to them. Yeah, like, please, I donate do. Money, like, every time. Like, $1 or $2 or whatever the option
I'm
is.
I'm not asking you to, like, hey, take out a mortgage on your house and give it to Wikipedia.
Right.
I mean, unless you want to. Like, I'm not going to stop you. Yeah. But, like, yeah.
Well, anyway, so the story sort of begins where she arrived in Ireland December 20th, 1996. The documentary kind of made it seem like she was going to spend Christmas alone. But in the Wikipedia source, it was saying that she was going to return to Paris for Christmas.
So it's kind of like,
so I'm not really sure.
Up in the air.
Yeah, exactly what her plans were. And maybe that's kind of part of it, is that we don't really know what her plans were.
Maybe she didn't know either. And she was just like, let's.
Right. It's just weird because, like, her husband was back in Paris with her son. So why would you not spend it with your family?
It kind of makes me wonder if, like, maybe there were some, like, marital issues.
There was definitely some marital issues.
Wouldn't it feel weird to not spend, like, the holidays with Steven?
Oh, yeah, that'd be
fucking, I don't even
weird.
Feel like it would be the holidays, like, if Keith and I weren't together.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
If he was like, I'm gonna go. I mean, our families are here, so, like,
yeah.
Me and Keith have that, like, luxury. Obviously, Steven's are, like, in D.C., but, like,
yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah, so we're not really sure exactly what her plan was.
Yeah.
Maybe she was just there to visit her cottage. She had purchased this cottage that was very remote, actually. Like, even the locals, some of them didn't even know how to get there. Like, it was so remote that, like, you had to really know where you were going to find it. So she goes out to her little cottage. She was known to enjoy her alone time, like I said. She liked to read. She liked to write. So maybe she was just having a little reset before crazy holiday stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows? So she's out there. The locals described her as extremely intelligent, very bright and sunny. And then her cousin said she also had a depth to her. She had a fascination with death. She had a fascination with darkness. Like we do.
Yeah, I was about to say, is
like,
this us?
Let's be friends.
Yeah.
And she was also a very talented writer. Like, her next project, as a TV producer was to be all about a series on bodily fluids, like breast milk and blood and bile. Like, she was fascinated
really
by that.
I think it would be really helpful if people knew more about that.
Sure, yeah. So she was very fascinated by that kind of thing. She tended to keep to herself, but she really enjoyed the beauty of the landscape, which is why she bought that cottage.
Makes sense.
And she even had, like, in her bedroom in the cottage, she didn't have curtains to the window because it looked across the coast and you could see the lighthouse. So she really enjoyed just being able to, like, lay in bed and see the lighthouse as she read or as she kind of got ready for bed.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it was super isolated. But on the night of December 23rd, 1996.
Oh, so she needed to make moves soon.
Yeah, she unfortunately was murdered.
Oh, God.
The morning of December 24th, one of her neighbors found her body. She was in her PJs and boots. And she was found, like, at the bottom of the hill. So the, if you look at the pictures I sent you, there's a picture of the farmhouse. It kind of sits on this hill, and there's this, like, long sort of road that comes down, and then there's a gate at the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
So she was found at that gate.
What a beautiful home.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It's so gorgeous.
She was found at the bottom of that hill by the gate. There was a cinder block, and she was kind of found, like, in these really thorny, bristly bushes.
Oh, God. And she was there for, like, a day, it sounds like?
Like, a night, I guess. Like, I'm not really sure the time frame exactly. But, yeah, she had been beaten so badly that her neighbors couldn't even, like, positively ID her. Like, they assumed it was her because it was her property.
Yeah, and they knew she was, like, by herself. Yeah. But, again.
So she had multiple severe head injuries. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
And, basically there was, like, blood all over the gate. There was blood on the concrete block that was nearby. So they assumed that whoever had done this had used this concrete block.
Sure, yeah, which makes sense.
And she had a lot of defensive wounds on her hands, so she fought back, but unfortunately she didn't make it.
Oh, that's so sad.
So because it was such a remote place, the guardy or the police, they didn't really know how to properly handle this case. Like, they didn't know how to get evidence. They did the best they could, but they were also accused of mishandling evidence.
It kind of sounds like those cops, like, when, you know, a murder happens in a really small town and they're not used to it, and the only thing they have to deal with is, like, delinquent kids.
Totally, like, that kind of thing. And so, the pathologist. The pathologist lived, like, super far away, and he was coming to, I guess, kind of, like, see, like, do the autopsy, formal kind of stuff like that. It took him 28 hours to even get to where they were.
Oh, wow. So, was the closest pathologist?
Her body just kind of remained in the road until he could get there.
Was it cold?
It looked cold. I'm not really sure, like, exactly the temperature, but it was December. I wonder if it, like,
helped the body kind of.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. So the guardie kind of did what they could. So they go into her house and start to look for some clues, and there's just not really a lot of evidence. The main things were that they found her keys still in the door. Which was weird. So, like, maybe she had unlocked it and, like, someone had come to the door and, like, I'm not really sure how that.
I wonder if she, like, ran out and, like, somebody snuck in.
Right, because she's in her pajamas and she's wearing her boots. Like, that's weird. And then the other thing that they thought was odd, like, because it was pretty tidy in her home. Like, nothing really looked, like, out of place. Like, it didn't look like there was evidence of, like, a fight or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But they did see two wine glasses drying on her little, like, dish rack thing. So they're like, did someone come over? Did they have some wine? Like,
that's strange.
Yeah. So that was pretty much the extent of, like, the evidence that they really even found.
That doesn't tell him anything, because she could have had a glass and then, like,
and, like,
had one the next night.
I don't know,
night.
Sometimes I leave my dishes out for a couple days.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And if you're living alone, like, who the fuck knows? So, anyways, they then set out to interview everyone. And this is where this fucking guy, British reporter / resident, Ian Bailey, becomes known. So he, one, starts to report on this case, like, immediately.
Let me guess, did he know her?
He said he didn't. So he is, he's apparently heard from some other reporter, like, that very same day that they found her. They found her around 10 a.m. He heard from another reporter at around 1 that, or no, excuse me, 11, that this woman had been murdered. And that was the extent of it.
So
a woman had been murdered.
So before the pathologist could even get there.
Right. This is fresh. And so then Ian Bailey starts telling people around, like, noon, I'm reporting on the murder of a French woman.
Why do you need to tell people?
Because he's a fucking attention whore.
Yeah.
And also, how does he know that it's the French woman?
Well, it's
he
in
fucking
Ireland,
doesn't.
Isn't it?
No one told him that.
Yeah.
So why does he fucking know that little detail? So he is not off to a good start. He is known...
Is he Le Douche?
He's Le Douche in the thing that I sent you.
Danae gave them such great tips.
So he is basically...
Oh, God, he looks like good value Colin Firth.
Yes.
Like, do you
yes,
see it?
Yes, I totally
like,
see
if
that.
If Colin Firth, like, hated his life and, like, didn't clean himself up, and it was like... He also looks like he's holding in a fart.
So, anyways, let me just tell you let me back it up before I start getting into how he starts reporting on this murder. The locals don't really like him. They're kind of like, you're fucking annoying.
Be Colin Firth or get the fuck out, you know?
And, like, keep in mind, all of these local people are very open-minded. They're very welcoming. They enjoy, they fully embrace foreigners. So, this dude, in the documentary, I thought it was fucking hilarious. Because one of, it was, like, I think the pub owner was like, oh, this fucking guy. He, like, rolls his eyes and he's like, this dude would come into the bar, like, have a few drinks, and then he would,
it's
like
I'm already rolling my eyes, like, yeah. You're talking, I'm like, already
he's, like, banging on the table, like, attention, attention, everyone. And he fucking just starts, like, spewing his, like, shit poetry.
Oh, I hate him so,
like,
much.
Like, he made
already.
People listen to him recite poetry. Like, that's so embarrassing. No one wants to hear that. And it wasn't even good poetry.
Should I stop going to bars and having people listen to my wait, like, is that weird?
Oh, wait, what?
Oh.
Yeah, so he's just, like, kind of this weirdo guy who demands attention. He wants to be known. He enjoys being, like, the center of attention.
Gross. Dude, you're, like, 50. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what age he is, but he looks old AF, so.
You're not a fucking toddler, so
no.
Don't. So he is, like, this self-proclaimed poet and just, like, spouts his poetry everywhere. People just find him to be obnoxious.
I'm annoyed, and I know not much about him.
Yeah. He was also known to have had several domestic disputes with his partner, Jules. So he and his partner, Jules Thomas, had moved to Ireland in 1991. She was a painter. They're both, like, creative people. And she had property there where she had, like, two separate kind of houses. So one was her, like, painting studio, and the other was, like, his area where he could write, and then where they also, like, slept, and there was a kitchen and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So he had moved there in his own words, to get away from the rat race. Because he had been a journalist, he was, like, all caught up and
whatever. People weren't paying attention to him.
I don't know. Why would you, if you're someone who loves attention, why are you moving to a small ass town? That's
where my question is. I'm like,
what? So he's, like, so fucking stoked that there's this story, this, like, crazy story in a place where nothing ever fucking happens, right? He's
not sad that a woman lost her life.
Oh, no, he's a reporter, so, yeah. Like, whatever. I mean, not that reporters are bad, but he just seemed like he cared a lot about the story. He would also tell people that he knew all the ins and outs of this story. Like,
because he was reporting on her, or because he did it?
Exactly. So, he knows all these details. He starts publishing these articles. Like, he knows this detail that she wasn't sexually assaulted before it's even, like, confirmed with police. It's like, how would you know that?
And the 90s was before, like, they were able to really check that. So, that's what makes, like, it extra sketchy is, like, in the 90s, they knew because of, like, semen and stuff like that. But they didn't have, like, ways to check it now. So, how the fuck does he know that?
Right. So, he's just a kind of the town weirdo.
Yeah.
He's eccentric. He's loud. He demands attention. People find him annoying.
Not even the town weirdo, also, just a weirdo.
Because he had, just a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And so then there's a little bit of a strike against him with the domestic disputes that he's had with Jules. The guardie knows him from multiple, you know, they've had to come out and, like, deal with their domestic violence situations. Their neighbors became so accustomed to seeing Jules all bruised. There were several times where they said that she had missing chunks of hair.
Are you kidding me?
She had split lips. She had black eyes. Like, he would get drunk and he would lose his shit. And unfortunately, she was the brunt of that.
Oh, that sucks. That's hard.
So anyways, all this to be said, that little bit of background on this fucking weirdo.
Yeah, because you need to, like...
Because you need to know. So it's like, one, is he just, like, the town weirdo and people want someone to blame? Or is he truly, like, maybe good for it? Like, maybe he really did this. So even while he's being investigated, they're starting to interview people. They're kind of like, you're a little odd. You seem to know a lot. You seem to be poking your nose into shit. And, like, just... giving people the creeps.
Murderers who are listening. Please don't be a murderer. Please don't listen. If you're a murderer, please turn it off and
walk away. This is not tips on how to be a murderer.
Don't stick your nose into stuff. That's my advice.
Yeah.
It's like, just stay away and stop murdering people.
Yeah.
And
like, try not to be a dick.
And, like, donate to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what the fuck?
So he's being investigated, but he's still writing articles about her. He's still publishing articles.
Why?
He's claiming all sorts of things. He's claiming that she's had numerous male lovers that would come over to her cottage.
Are you fucking kidding me? She can't even defend herself.
No. And why would you know?
Like,
you don't know shit.
Also, like, she's married, so, like, probably not, but, like, who the fuck cares?
And in such a small town, like, one of the locals was like, we would fucking know. Yeah. There's only, like, I don't know, however many people, like, word gets around quick. And he was like, no one ever, that was never a rumor. That was never, ever a thing that had been said. This guy's just making shit up. So he starts writing these articles. He's also trying to sort of move suspicion to her husband in France.
Why does he need to move suspicion?
Right. So he's using his writing to kind of be like, to steer the story in a way that he wants, right? Like, so he's like, oh, they've had marital issues. She's got lovers. And this guy, even though he wasn't here, he put a hit out on her. Like, he's saying this as if it's, like, fact. He's writing it. He's saying it.
If I learned anything from the elections, misinformation is dangerous.
It's so dangerous.
So dangerous.
So, the Guardi are noticing that just, he's fucking weird, right? But also, when they're interviewing him, they notice that he has cuts all over his hands and his forearms, plus a huge gash on his forehead. Okay. And the unfortunate thing about this is that because it was such a rural town, they don't fucking know how to investigate a murder case. You could just, like, submit a drawing. Like, you didn't need to take a picture of his actual hands or the gash on his head. You could just submit a fucking, like, drawing and be like, here's the evidence.
See,
let's see. And this is why you need to watch the...
your drawings, I would say, yep. My drawings, my hands would look like, it would look like carrots just, like, next to each other. So, like, drawing, I hope they found somebody that was good at drawing, because, like, yes. Well,
okay, I'm glad you said that, because they fucking didn't.
Oh.
So.
So I was there.
It was just some, like, guardy guy who, like, was, like, it literally, I couldn't find the pictures online, so watch the documentary, but I literally laughed out loud, and I have to agree with Ian Bailey on this, like, the man had no artistic ability. It looked like, you know when a child traces their hand?
Yeah.
It looked like that. And then so just like...
it looked like the, what they make like the turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, uh-huh. So they did a turkey.
So he, someone traced their hand.
Oh my God,
and then they
no.
just like took a pencil and like, shkir, shkir, and just did the little scratch marks. Like it looked like...
It was 1996. Yeah, like this is not the 1800s. We can take pictures.
We can take pictures.
Do you need a Polaroid? I'll pay for it on me. Like, my gift.
So, and that was acceptable evidence. So, this picture looks awful. You can't even really tell the extent of, like, are they deep? Are they, like, uniform? Like, what do they... Oh, I mean, it God. Literally looks like someone just kind of did chicken scratch across. Like, you can't even really tell. Like, some of them aren't bigger than the other. Like... There's no way to say, like,
my is brother this... in Christ, if you cannot draw.
Like, why are you...
Say bye and say, somebody else take this.
Yeah.
And let Danae do it.
Well,
6-year-old Danae.
So then they had, like, a picture, and it looked like it was just maybe, like, a printout of, like, a head. Like, you know how they do, like, autopsy things where it's, like, it's a drawing of the human body, and then they kind of mark on yeah. it where things are. So this kind of looked like...
Unrelated, when I worked at the cosmetics counter for 4 years of my life, they had, like, faces, and they would make you do, like,
the makeup
to them.
Oh.
Yeah.
With makeup or uh-huh. pencils?
Yeah, no, it was oh. really embarrassing.
Okay.
Stuff doesn't stick to it, so well, they'd be yeah. like, what is this look? And I'm like, my best. That's what this look is.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that kind of thing, like... Just
yeah, it looked like okay. just like a face, like a very
basic face. I like
how you explain
it and then I do face. An extra explanation.
No, but that's exactly what yeah. it was, whereas it's just like, it's a basic like human face and then someone just did like a little like scratchy to show the gash. And I'm like, no, like
Stop
you can't tell.
Stop using this as evidence.
You can't tell how big that is. We don't know the depth of the actual gash. Oh, so God. Like, that sucks that we don't have that evidence. We just have like what they saw. What they said they saw, and then these, like, awful drawings.
I just, it's inexcusable at that time that they weren't able to take pictures. Like, how...
It's fucking stupid.
Go get a Polaroid. I'll pay for it. Like, I'll pay for a Polaroid.
Yeah. So, not much to go on there, but it is still raising red flags.
Sure.
So, he claims that he got the cuts on his forearms and hands... Not from the bush that Sophie was found in, that, like, terribly huge thorny bush. Like, the thorns were, like, massive. They were, like, inches long and, like, thick.
As a kid, have you ever, like, fallen in a bush
oh,
and it
yeah.
was thorny,
totally.
But not that bad? Like, that is traumatic. Like,
yeah,
I
these
remember
ones...
a few times, like, falling into bushes and I'm like, oh, those are
yeah.
sticky bushes. Like,
well, and they
hurts.
Did have pictures of the actual bush.
Sure, yeah.
But it was, like, they were really, really, like, thick bristles.
Aww.
So he says that he was climbing to the top of a pine tree. He, like, said the specific name. He was being so fucking extra in his interview. He was like, oh, this kind of pine tree, to be exact. Blah, blah. And he climbed to the top of it to cut off, like, the tip. Like, you know, the pointy part so that he could make it into his Christmas tree.
I was about to say, for a Christmas tree.
I'm just like, who fucking does that? Who climbs like a 30 foot tree? I hate
people who are specific with trees.
Is that real?
A pine tree.
Do people do that shit? Like, why don't you just cut down like a little baby one?
Or go to a Christmas tree farm. Taylor Swift's family owned one.
Well, he lives in rural, whatever, West Cork.
I'm just trying to make a point.
Anyways, I just think it's weird. Like, who does that? Ugh, I mean, I guess maybe people do. Not me, but
yeah, people. You would cut down like a little one that's like easy access. Yeah, like, that don't makes be stupid. No sense. Yeah.
So then he describes that, or he explains rather, that he got the gash on his forehead because he was killing three turkeys for like Christmas dinner. And he tells the people in the documentary about how he hung them up upside down and broke their necks. And, like, he really didn't even say, like, how it happened. But, like, I guess, like, maybe a beak or, like, a claw got him. I don't fucking know.
I just want to do a quick point of why I don't lie. I don't remember anything I say.
Well, there was, like, a lot of details and, like, weirdness. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're not going to remember all the details.
Like, the pine tree thing. I was like, calm down, sir. No one cares. No one cares what kind of fucking tree it was.
He said it was acacia tree. Like, no, like, no one's shut gonna up. Yeah, you're just trying to sound educated.
Exactly. No, like, and that's exactly, like, his vibe is, like, he tries to be, like, the guy that knows the most.
We've and, all like, met that man.
He wants to be, like, an intellectual and, like, wants to be seen as this amazing writer and poet. And it's like,
you're not.
Relax.
You're not.
Relax. Take a seat. Okay, so the problem... Oh, wait, I already said that.
Sorry, I'm just getting so the problem with the
five-year-old, like, drawing.
Do you have that in your notes?
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Like, it looks like a five-year-old drew it. So, witnesses were hanging out with him the night before he cut down the tree, before he killed the turkeys. And they didn't see any of these scratches. They didn't see... Or no, I'm sorry. They were hanging out with him the night before the murder. I'm sorry. So, allegedly, that day, on the 23rd... 22nd, actually. 22nd, he was hanging out with people. He had cut down his tree. He had killed the turkeys. And then he had dinner with some friends. None of those people saw his injuries. No one can remember. And it's, like, pretty specific. Like, you would remember, like...
Especially, like...
Arms that are cut up, a gash on your forehead. Even if they were, like, small, like, you really did down a Christmas tree. Like, you would notice it.
Like, you had a cut on your knee. And I think you still have it.
Yeah.
Like, and I noticed that because I'm like, oh my gosh, oh no.
Yeah. So, his whole alibi... The night of the murder, the 23rd, is that he was in bed all night. And they ask his partner, Jules, and she's like, yep, that's the story. Then they both change their story. So Jules is like, oh, wait, actually he was like tossing and turning. I kind of, like, you know when you're sleeping in the same bed as someone and they're kind of like restless, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so she's like, he's tossing and turning, and then he got up around 11.
As weird as it sounds, you can tell when the person's not asleep.
Oh, for sure.
Like, sitting there, like, contemplating life.
Totally.
Like,
So she says he gets up around 11 p.m., and he didn't return until 9 a.m. And at that point, he had a new gash on his forehead that she noticed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just put it this way. Like, if at 11 p.m., Keith got up, and he didn't return until 9 a.m. We're not talking.
Dude, I can't even, like, sleep when Steven's on the bed. Like,
no.
I know when he gets up. Even when he, like, goes to the bathroom, I'm like, where'd you go? Where'd you go?
I was scared I was alone. Well, like, Keith will fall asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And, like, you know, I'll go to bed because I'm like, this is fun. And, like, even then, I don't sleep very well until he comes into the room.
Totally.
And he always does. And, like, sometimes it's, like, at 1 or 2 in the morning. But, like, then I, like...
But then I settle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when I, like, fall into a deeper sleep. Totally. Because he's there.
Yeah.
So.
100%. So then, Ian changes his story as well. And he's also, like, oh, P.S. I forgot. I, like, got up at 4 a.m., and I rode a little bit, And then I went back to bed. Like, what? Okay. So.
Weird that you both have very different takes.
Yeah.
Jules was protecting him, I think.
Oh, for sure.
At first. And then she's like, you know what?
Anyways, fuck you.
Yeah.
Beat me up and...
I'll beat you up with...
Tear out chunks of my hair. Fuck off.
Justice.
Yeah. So then, this is where it gets interesting.
Oh, this whole thing's just, I'm loving okay. it. So I'm like, interesting, it's already so, got me in.
Then there's a witness. So, this lady named Marie Farrell, she, on January 11th, 1997, so this is a whole, like, sure. year after the yeah. case, and or the murder, actually, and nothing has really kind of come of it. So, January 11th, 1997, she calls the guardie from a payphone and under the fake name Fiona says that she saw a man on Kefalda Bridge at 3 a.m. on December 23rd, 1996.
Here's my question. How did she see him at 3 a.m.? Or do they not really get into it?
So, the reason that she was using a fake name and calling from a payphone is because she was driving around with a man who was not her husband, and who knows what the fuck they're doing. They're, like, making out, probably yeah. doing Lover's hand stuff.
They were just high-fiving.
They were
today, all they were doing was high-fiving and doing a secret handshake. Like, it doesn't yeah, have to be
so
weird.
She didn't want people to ask that same question. Like, what yeah. the fuck were you doing at 3 a.m.?
High-fiving.
driving around with someone who wasn't your husband. So then... people hear about this call from Fiona and they're like, well, we need more information. Like, you need to come forward and you need to make a statement because this could be something that drastically changes the course of this yeah. case. Like, this could be a
was
key
detail.
Was
she married?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't protect that guy, but.
Yeah. I mean, did you want to?
Don't protect you either, but.
Yeah. But yeah, and like, I feel like this is a little bit more important than protecting your probably already over marriage.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I don't think you go in a car with another person who's married when you're married because things are going well.
Yeah. So this public appeal was made basically asking Fiona to give a statement. It could help the case. Please come forward. Yeah. And so she does.
Good for her.
Not willingly.
Yeah.
But okay, she called the guardie from her house, still pretending to be Fiona, stating that she couldn't come forward because she was with another man in a car that night. And with that call, they traced it and then they found out it was her. They're okay. like, whatever, star 69. Oh, it's Maria or Marie. Gotcha.
Gotcha, bitch.
So she said that she saw Ian Bailey wearing a long trench coat, waving his arms, looking hella drunk as she drove by at 3 a.m. on Kefalda Bridge. So this is like, now people are really like, oh shit, okay,
he
was being a fucking weirdo before, he was a little sketch, but we couldn't quite, like... really, we didn't have anything to go off of, and now we have a witness. There was also another witness. I didn't write down her name. Whatever, she's in the documentary, but she was saying that on December 24th, she was taking a walk, and she walked by Ian Bailey's house, and there was just a little backyard fire going on, and she's like, that's fucking weird. Like, what are you burning?
It's a fire hazard, sir.
You know, because by this time everyone had heard about the murder. Like, what are you burning,
yeah.
weirdo? Because now everyone's, like, suspicious of everyone. Who could have done this?
Christmas Eve bonfire.
You know, the norm.
As one does.
So, yeah. Then it gets even worse, right? So, we've got a witness. We've got him acting all weird. We've got Jules saying, wait, he did get out of bed. Bailey fucking tells people that he did it. So, like...
what?
Yeah. Not looking good for you. So he gets, like, super fucking drunk one night. Him and Jules and this other couple. And he starts, like, crying to this man, crying on his shoulder, and he's like, I did it. I just took it too far. I killed her. And obviously this couple's like, what the fuck? So they are like, goodbye. Like,
we need to,
no, thank you.
Like, I we're want leaving. No part of this. Yeah. Like,
we don't want to know you. What the actual fuck? So they leave. I'm they tell the guardie. I've
never had a weird experience with another couple like that where I'm like,
oh, you murdered someone?
I need Neat. To leave.
You know what? Yeah. I just got a call. Gotta go. Then, because it was like such a small town, people would like give each other rides. So like if you saw someone and they needed a ride up the road, like, you know where everyone lives and shit. He was drunk one night and offered to give this 14-year-old kid, Malachi.
Oh my God.
A ride. And I don't think Malachi knew at first that he was drunk. And then he got in the car and this dude starts fucking like rambling. Kiddos. And he's like, shit.
Okay. I don't care if you know the person because I've heard stories or something. Don't get in a car with weirdos. Like,
right. Well, I mean, it was just kind of like a different, like, thing. I know. Where it's it's a small town. Everyone knows everyone. And, like, you just give people rides, right? Like, it wasn't necessarily hitchhiking. But it's still, like,
it's just weird when somebody
it's weird because like, we don't do it.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. So this kid, Malachi, gets into the car, then realizes, fuck, this guy's, like, fucking drunk. And Bailey starts, like, rambling to him, and he's, like, he tells him, oh, I bashed her brains in. And starts going into detail about it. Starts being a fucking weirdo. And this kid just, like, anyways, like, I just wanted to go home.
Hug my mom.
Right, so he gets out, he goes home, and he doesn't actually tell his mom until, like, the next day, because one, he didn't want to get in trouble for, like, taking a ride
processing it
from a drunk person. Yeah. Yeah, and I think probably processing it. So he tells his mom, he finally tells her the next day or whatever, and she's like, fuck, like, well, we gotta go to the Guardie. Like, this is not something that...
I'm disappointed, but thank you for telling me.
Right. Yeah. So we have to tell them. We have to make a statement. So things then sort of quiet down because there's no physical evidence tying him to this murder.
No.
He's just being a fucking weirdo. And you can't arrest someone for just being a fucking weirdo. Or you can't put them in jail. So things die down, whatever. 2003 comes along. And,
whoa, big jump.
Yeah, big jump. Bailey decides to sue 6 newspapers for libel, stating that their headlines and stories ruined his reputation.
Okay, because he had a good one.
Right. Yeah.
He had a good one going on.
And it's not like he did the same fucking thing to Sophie, ruining her reputation.
Exactly. After saying she all these men were...
had already passed and couldn't even dispute it. Like, fuck off. So, he lost that case, that court case.
He's Demi Lovato-ing. We're trying to stay relevant.
Demi Lovato?
Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato-ing? He's trying to stay relevant?
I mean, homie keeps saying stuff.
Just the weirdest shit from her.
And we're like, Demi, boo-boo, what is you doing? I mean, Demi became non-binary and then said, just kidding. I use she, her pronouns. And it's like, okay.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. And then, like, saying well, that's to a fine. Ghost.
Who cares what your pronouns are? But then she also said that we should, like, what did she say that was, like, so fucking stupid? Like, we shouldn't refer to aliens as aliens because it, like, would hurt their feelings or some shit. I was like,
yeah.
What are you and even saying?
Saying to ghosts, and it's just like...
She's saying to ghosts? What do you mean?
She went on a ghost hunting show, and she was like, I would like to sing for the ghosts.
What?
Oh,
why?
Oh, Danae, we have so much to show you.
That sounds embarrassing.
We'll show you the world, but I'm just like, when I hear something,
the ghosts
like,
were like, stop!
No, they were like, okay!
God, we'll leave.
Like, we don't want to be here as much as you don't want to sing.
We won't haunt here anymore.
But Jesus. I'm just saying, like, constantly there's something new with her.
Yeah.
That she always, like, when she went non-binary, I was like, that's great! And then I'm like, but you're switching around. Like, that's rude to people who are actually going through that. Yeah. All I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, this guy's...
So anyways, Bailey's trying to Demi Lovato his way back into the life of everyone.
It's so good, isn't it?
He also lost a wrongful arrest case against the Guardi in 2015. So he's just trying to, like, sue people left and right. And they're like, no, dude, like, no. It's a no. You're wrong. And thank you for wasting everyone's time. Goodbye. So then in 2019, France is like, we're going
to
take...
So another big jump. Because it was like 2003 to 2019.
To 2015, he lost the wrongful arrest case.
Okay.
And then in 2019, France is like, we're going to take this doucher to court because Ireland can't, like, seem to get their fucking shit together. And, like, he clearly did it. And he needs to...
pay for that.
Yeah, like, justice needs to be served. So France is like, this wasn't handled right from the beginning. We're going to take him to court. So they try him... in absentia, which basically just means that he's not physically present for the legal proceedings.
Okay.
Which is weird. I've never heard of that. I don't know. Different court systems. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah. It can get kind of dicey in other areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was actually convicted to 25 years in prison in Paris court. But in 2020... Ireland's High Court ruled that he would not be extradited. So even though Paris found him guilty of this crime and they have sentenced him, Ireland is like, yeah, well, sorry, you can't extradite him.
Here's my question. Did he suck so much that Ireland's like, we don't even want him to go to jail? Like, we don't even want him near us for jail time.
Apparently not, because they wouldn't even let him be extradited. So he's still living in Ireland.
Wouldn't you do that for this woman that had a lot of respect around the community? Like, something?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Someone says if they're treating it like it's not important.
But it's kind of like, because the legal systems are so different, that what happens in Paris isn't necessarily something that is even, like, in Ireland legal system. Like, I don't know. It's, like, fucking weird. Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, Paris says this, but Ireland is like, well, yeah, that's not something that we do, so, like, that doesn't really stand.
State to state, too. I mean, like, even in the U.S. can get a little weird,
so
too.
So, basically, he won't be extradited, and he's still just living his weird, embarrassing poetry life in Ireland.
So he clearly... killed a woman and he's just walking around.
And everyone knows it. Like, everyone truly believes that he did. It was sad because her son was in the documentary and he's, like, our age now. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I want justice to be served. And he's like, I won't stop fighting. I won't stop fighting for him to do his time that he needs to do. And it was really sad. But basically, it just... this dude is still living free.
I don't think there's anything less, you know, more maddening that when you hear a case, and, you know, obviously there's some stories where it's like, ooh, there could be, you know, I see why this story, like, worked, why this person could be guilty, and I see why this person could be guilty.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he's not.
Well, like...
and it's just maddening because he's just walking around living his best life, and this woman just... also was living her life, and she got murdered.
She got taken from her child. Like, it's just awful. And so it's, I don't know. I think that, I guess for me, I don't really understand because I don't really see the motive. Like, what's the motive, you know? Like,
I mean,
is he just that extra that he wanted to have a story that badly? Like, I don't... that's the part that doesn't really make sense for me, is that I don't see there being a motive. I think he is a weirdo, and I don't necessarily like him. I just don't know if he truly is the murderer, but, like, who else would it be?
That's...
and I don't really buy the thing about, like, oh, her husband sent a hitman. Like, that's... for what? He's rich. He could just divorce her and, like... still,
you're like, here you go, bye.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense. And it was weird because the husband didn't come out to identify her body. So people thought that was weird.
That is really strange. I mean,
yeah.
I think what's also strange is like that they were celebrating the holidays apart from each other. Like,
yeah,
I can understand like your daily life. There's something about the holidays. Totally. That's just, like, I think, yeah, that is really strange.
But I can also understand like.
But when you have a kid, though.
Not even the kid thing, like identifying your spouse from, I don't know. I think it's just something you would have to do.
Yeah.
But I could also see how someone could be like, I literally can't do that. Like, I will break, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, well, and he there's did been show stories
where people are like, I want to see my child. And they're like, you need to remember your kid as they were, because right now, that's weird.
That's a hard image to get out of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's kind of a weird story where there's not, like, a hard he did it kind of thing.
There's no winning, there's no losing this one.
But yeah, it was a weird one. And the documentary is so good. It's really, really good. I want to watch it. You should watch it. It
sounds really interesting.
It was, like, I think there was, like, 5 episodes or something, maybe 4. And it was just so well done.
Just gripping. Like, the whole thing was, like...
Yeah, I, like, watched it all in one night. I was like, well, now I need to know.
Well, this sounds like something I need to let everyone know about.
Exactly.
I love good documentaries that are, like, you just, like, leaving, I don't know. I like when there's a resolution, but it's also, like, I think it's good to bring up the stuff, like, where nothing happened, because I think that's a lot more common than we'd like to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those don't get, you know, high profile either. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's awful.
Yeah. So, mega bummer.
Yeah. Well.
All right, friends. Well, take care of yourself. If you have any stories that you would like to share with us.
Self-care tips,
hit us up on our email at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We also have an Instagram where we post pictures of ourselves, because if you're like me, when I hear podcasters, I'm like, what do they look like? Because I'm weird. But we have pictures of us and, you know, kind of things we're doing for self-care. And we would love for you to add us and, you know, go... to that, it's Mysterious Mavens Pod at, you know, just on Instagram. I was about to say at Gmail, and I'm like, that's our email. We like to keep it easy.
Yeah.
We also have a website, mysteriousmavenspod.com, and please go visit us there. We have a lot of different ways to contact us, but we would love to hear from you, and please rate and tell all your friends about us, but be nice, because we're water signs, so, you know, we're a little sensitive. I hated the way I just said that. We're really sensitive.
We are sensitive. Yeah. Okay. But... Well, until next time, take care of yourselves and bye.
Bye.